Mike, man. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing?
Doing all right.
Feeling all right? Let's try to take a look at this one. You probably don't want to take a look at this one again, but we'll do it anyway. When something starts to become a trend, and I know you've always looked at it one game at a time, it's its own separate episode, and I know already looking forward, you're looking at one game next week against Carolina. But when there develops a trend here where your team seems to have trouble, especially at the offensive end in the second half of games, is that a problem, and is that something that you analyze well beyond one game, that maybe it's an internal problem within the structure of your own team that you've got to fix?
Oh, well, you know, we're always looking to do the best we can, so, you know, we'll go back and work on it and try to work harder and improve it.
Is there a reason that that's happening? I mean, it seems to be happening every week, though.
Yeah, well, we just got to work at it and try to get better. You know, I think there's certainly some good plays, there's some good things, and then there's some other things that aren't as good. I think you can say that about every area of the team, probably in every half. So we just got to work harder at it and try to get better.
Is it one thing more than anything else that you can point to, or is it just a conglomeration of things?
No, not really. I think it's been different plays or different defenses, different teams. So I don't know if there's any one single common denominator. But you know, just the bottom line is when we've been in 12 games, 9 of them have been real close, 3 of them haven't, and you know, we've won some, we've lost some, and you know, we need to just do a better job in those situations to win more of them.
And Coach. the away game scenario, the road game scenario, is there something else going on the road that might be a distraction?
You know, I don't think so. I mean, other than the New Orleans game, we've been ahead in those games, so. You know, I just think we got to play better. We got to coach better. We got to play better. We just got to come up with a few more plays.
Coach, untypical of Miami, they usually run the Wildcat and tend to run more, be a more run-oriented team. I know Brown was out, but they threw 52 times yesterday. What were they seeing? Obviously, the passing game was working. They didn't rotate that Wildcat at all after you successfully stopped it once or twice early on.
Well, I think Miami's always a team that when things are, whatever is working offensively, you tend to see more of that. So if the Wildcat's going, you see more of it. If something else is going, then you see more of that. And, you know, they had a little success throwing the ball, and then they had a drive there at the end of the half. And so that probably encouraged them to do a little bit more. But that's generally what they do. Whatever's working, you tend to see more from them, formations or personnel groups or plays.
They threw 52 times, but they weren't successful. The defense are getting much pressure on. We had to go to the blitz a bunch of times, and they picked that up and were able to get completions. How often did you blitz?
Blitz about a third of the time.
Yeah. It wasn't very successful a lot of the time.
Well, I mean, there were a lot of, you know, they max protected quite a bit, and, you know, they didn't throw the ball to their backs or really the tight ends very much a couple times. But, you know, most of it was to the receivers, and they kept people in. So, you know, we just got to do a better job of, you know, scheming it up and rushing and covering.
Three receivers out most on those max protection?
Well, yeah, a lot of it was in their three receivers and one back and tight end, one tight end set that they kept the back and tight end in quite a bit. You know, there was some of their two tight end stuff. But I would say a lot of it was max protection. There wasn't a lot of empty and, you know, and a lot of spread other than, you know, a little bit there before the half.
It seemed like New Orleans got a lot of pressure with just three guys, and we saw some of that with Miami. Are those just breakdowns in your offensive line? I mean, five against three, you would think you'd have protection there.
Yeah, well, I think most of those were, you know, longer yarded situations, and obviously they're not doing much except rushing the passer. But yeah, you know, we gotta block that better.
On the fourth down play in the goal line near the end of the first half, what was the mindset going in? You had a certain play that you liked, you thought you could get the first down.
We thought we could pick it up. Yeah, we didn't. I mean, sure, it was the same mindset that Tony had when he went forward on fourth and one, that same field position. So, you know, we thought we could pick it up, and we didn't.
On that play, Brady said this morning that you guys had run that play so many times this season and been successful. Was that a case, and you've told us all along, if you got a play that you think can work, you're going with it. What is it you saw out there that you thought that play was going to work?
I thought we'd get a foot, yeah.
Did they anticipate it all? I mean, they seemed to have that pretty much jammed.
They stopped it, so you got to give them credit for that.
Do you run it differently at times, Bill, where you have, instead of having the up back, you have the ball, the second back has the ball? Was that, do you run it different ways?
Yeah, in those short-yarded situations, we've given the ball to both guys. In fact, we gave to Lawrence a play before, you know, on an off-tackle play to the left. So, yeah, I mean, it's not, you know, we've run that fullback play, we've run the tailback play. You know, we have confidence in both of them, but it just, you know, didn't work out that time.
Was a desire there to put these guys away and
well, I thought we could make a foot. Fourth and a foot, I thought we could make it. And like I said, I'm sure it's the same decision Tony made on fourth and one when, mm-hmm. you know, when he went for it in that same field position, you know. Felt like we could make it. We're get the ball in the end zone.
Seems that that's happened numerous times this year. We've talked more about that this year because in the past, I don't think you're changing your philosophy at all on when you go for it in fourth down. Just seem to have far more success in the past. Is it a matter of now you're doing the same thing and this offense is not able to get that foot or 2 feet or a yard? Is that the issue?
I don't know. No, you know, we've gotten some and we haven't gotten some. You know, when you go for it at that point, you know, you need to make more of them than you don't make. You know, we picked up another one on fourth and three and, you know, get a penalty on it. So, you know, we just got to do a better job in those situations, and that's all there is to it.
Brady drives the offense down to the 5-yard line, throws the interception. Was that the initial read? You get the man coverage with Randy, and that was the throw. The initial read, or was that the?
We had an option on the play, and you know, I think Tom took the coverage over there. So I'm sure that's one that he'd like to have back, and Davis made a good play on the ball.
He's supposed to look like Davis, what, 5'11", 6 feet?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously that throw was meant to be a little bit high inside or outside, so he couldn't grab it, right?
You want to try to put it where, you know, we're only, of course, down in the right area, you want to try to put it where only we can get it and the defender can't. And, you know, it was one of those where we just didn't connect on it.
It seemed like Miami was doing some things similar to New Orleans in terms of rushing only three or four guys and then dropping a number of guys, as many as they could, into coverage. Did you see some of that, like you saw against New Orleans?
Yeah, I'd say they did quite a bit of that, Steve. Yeah. You know, there was some, they pressured us some, but most of it was, you know, a lot of double coverage on Moss and Welker, mm-hmm. and some three-man rush with dropping the extra guy in the middle of formation, stuff like that, yep.
This week again, I don't think there's a throw to Watson. You keeping the tight ends a lot more for protection and not getting out in the pass routes as much, or just finding more options when you're throwing it?
There's times where they protect and there's times where they're in the route. I'm not sure exactly what the percentage is on that, but, you know, I mean, there's times on that, there's times when they're not.
Did they put more coverage on Wes Welker as the game progressed on? Did they change the way they covered him as that game went on?
No, they pretty much did. No, they covered him early. You know, they put pressure. They covered him, double covered him early in the game, and right to the end.
Is that different than what we were seeing a couple weeks ago? Because I remember you talked about it with New Orleans. There was a lot more coverage with him in that New Orleans game. Is that what you're sensing now teams are doing? And do you see that once a team is successful doing something, taking something away from you, you're sitting there saying to yourself, uh-oh, we're seeing it again next week?
Well, I would say this game, you know, Miami played us a little bit differently than they did the first time. I'd say they put more coverage over Moss, and then they also, you know, at times three-man rushed or four-man rushed and threw some more coverage to Wes. So, you know, sometimes that helped them. Other times, we still threw for, I don't know, a lot of yards. Wes got a lot of yards. You know, Randy had a big plays. Aiken had a couple of good chances down the field. You know, I think Tom was, you know, going away from it. And, we hit Sam on one long one and threw a couple other ones to him that, you know, we had a shot to get down the field on. So, when that coverage comes up, then that's, you know, one of the options you want to go to.
You could clearly see it with the Aiken catch, because as much as that was a circus catch, that safety was still leaning over towards Randy Moss, which...
He was definitely toward Moss.
No question.
Yeah.
From an offensive standpoint, are you and Coach O'Brien in sync right now, or do you feel like there's some work that needs to be done here with some of the play calling at specific times of the game?
I think every game of my career, you know, you always look back on the game and say, well, there's things I wish I could have, you know, I wish I would have had this one back, or I wish we would have coached that one differently, or whatever. So, you know, especially when you drop a game like that where, you know, it's so many plays. You know, there's things that every coach and every player that participated in the game would kind of want to have back. So, you know, could we do a better job? Yeah, I mean, we can always do a better job.
Every transition sometimes is difficult. You know, we went to O'Brien from McDaniel and Charlie to McDaniel. How tough has that transition been for the players? It seems like they're not functioning in a cohesive unit. You know, like against Denver, you get on the 50, you get two first downs, you're in position for a field goal. Against Indianapolis, you get two first downs, the game's over, a first down. This week, if you get two first downs in that last series, you get the ball back with 5 minutes, the game's over. I mean, this is more of an offensive-oriented team because you have more talent on that side. What's happening in those situations that preventing the first downs? Is it play calling? Is it lack of execution? And it just seems it's too consistent in those particular games, you know, three games that we could have won, but we just couldn't get the first down by the unit that we're relying on.
Yeah, well, again, that's you know, we talked about it after those games, and we talk about it today. You know, we got to do a better job. Just got to work harder in those situations and do a better job. And it wasn't like we couldn't move the ball yesterday. We had 450 yards of offense or whatever it was. So, you know, I wouldn't say we couldn't move the ball. But, you know, every possession's critical and every play's critical. Yeah, we just got to, as a unit, coaches, players, you know, work harder to produce even more.
Twice yesterday after the game, Tom Brady said, "I don't think we fight very hard," talking about fighting through adversity or whatever. He was talking about guys do a lot of things well, but they don't fight hard enough. You've always had teams that seem to, when they hit that that wall, they just bust right through it. Are you finding that this is an issue, that at times they're not fighting through some adversity out there?
Well, you know, you'd have to ask Tom about that comment. I don't know exactly, you know, what he was referring to, but yeah, we're going to be in a lot of close games. We've been in them, so we got to find a way to make a few more plays than our opponents do. And that's sometimes we have, sometimes we haven't. But we got to find a way to make more of them than we're making.
What's a bigger factor in the passing yards that your defense is letting up? Is it the pass rush or is it an experienced secondary?
Well, I think as always, it's about team defense, and the two are interrelated. So. You know, rush is important. Coverage is important. If one's there and the other isn't, then you got problems. So if there's times that we had good rush and our coverage wasn't tight enough, there are times when we had good coverage and the rush wasn't forcing the ball out on time, and the quarterback had a little extra time to throw. So, you know, we're always trying to, you know, find that good timing defensively as team defense that we force the ball out when we're on the routes.
And when the defense is, I mean, your offense in the field, Welker's successful underneath, Brady's taking shots over the top. Are they starting to, you know, slide that defense down, trying to get to the middle, take that inner and lower zone away, and that gives you opportunities to go over the top on that? Because Akins was wide open down the stretch, and Brady missed that one, and then Randy got the long one, and Akins got another long one. Is there something in the defense? Because it seems like you have an opportunity to go downfield more as it progresses and people are looking at the success that Welk is having over the middle.
Yeah, well, I don't know. You'd have to talk to the other teams about exactly what they're seeing. But, you know, I'd say overall, offensively, I think that we've had pretty good balance. We ran the ball, I don't know, 30-some times yesterday, whatever it was.
97 yards, something like that.
Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, we got a lot of runs called with play-action passes. You know, we had some deep balls to Wes. We had deep balls to Randy. We had deep balls to Sam. You know, we had some short and intermediate throws as well. So, you know, I feel like we're, you know, we have pretty good balance. And, you know, Tom's trying to throw the ball to the guy that's open. And they push the coverage one way, then, you know, we come back somewhere else. Or, you know, if Wes is open, Wes gets it. Or if Randy's open, you know, we try to go to where we get the best, you know, the best matchups. So, I mean, it's hard to, you know, find fault with that. I think the big thing we just got to do is try to keep working to, you know, to improve, to you know, win more matchups and make more plays and, you know, and call better plays.
Well, everyone talks about getting a blueprint. I mean, how much of this stuff you see now that you haven't seen before? You've seen 8-man drops, seen 9-man drops. Is there anything that's really a lot different, or are they running a lot more of something that you hadn't seen as much in the past as far as defensive coverage and schemes against you?
Yeah. Well, I mean, again, you know, when you move the ball for 450 yards, I don't think you come out of the game saying, well, you know, we couldn't get anything going. You know, we just – it was a few plays that we could have – that we'd like to have hit, and if we had hit them, it would have made a difference in the game, and those are the ones that we're, you know, we're working to make. But, I mean, just have a hard time saying, you know, well, they held us to 450 yards. We couldn't, you know, we couldn't do anything. I mean, I just didn't see the game that way.
But sometimes, though, Coach, the, after the Aiken touchdown, after that, the last five or six possessions, we're not, there was hardly any time taken off the clock at all. There were a couple three and outs. I think the biggest drive was 3 minutes and 18 seconds. So does that add to the pressure of the defense, obviously, because the offense wasn't mustering hardly anything after that Aiken touchdown?
Well, I think, you know, more important than time is, you know, is moving the ball. I mean, which the two are related. So if you get first downs, you're moving it. But, you know, we had had a couple opportunities where they're up there playing aggressively, taking away the short, you know, the short play. And, you know, Tom made a good read to Sand. Ball goes off his fingertips. You know, I mean, I'd rather him throw it to Aiken down the field open than throw it into, you know, double coverage underneath. So, you know, we ran the ball a couple times, didn't get as much out of it. Of course, they're, you know, they're looking for those runs, trying to get the ball back. So, you know, we had opportunities down the field. We just, you know, we're close. We just didn't hit them.
You actually had a couple of opportunities at the end, last two possessions, where you could have kind of, if you could control the ball, keep the ball, you could have ended the game probably without even scoring.
Yeah, well, that's sure. That's, yeah. Well, believe me, we're trying to move the ball. We're trying to get possession there.
So is that the biggest problem right now? We talk about the yardage, and we look at the yardage and look at the total yards for offense, and it's pretty impressive. Is it a matter of you're not converting enough, you're not getting into the end zone enough? Is that it? You're moving up and down the field, but you're not getting seven out of it. Is that the biggest problem right now with this offense?
Well, I mean, again, anytime you're in a game like that, a one-point game, you know, you can point to 20 plays. Point to plays in the red area. You can point to plays on third down. You can point to plays at the end of the game. I mean, you can pick out whichever ones you want.
Well, you look at three. Aikens, the one he missed by inches. And then even at the last pass that Brady got off,
right.
Aikens had the ball in his hands, and
yeah,
he came
close.
Down. How close
yeah.
was that?
It was pretty close. Yeah, it's hard to tell, you know, in the, from the, you know, the coach's copy, you know, shot from up the top of the stadium. But, you know, I don't know. Sure, on the TV copy, I mean, it's definitely
close.
You know, it's they doubled Welker, and you know, Sam was outside on Smith, and, you know, Tom made a, you know, throw. Sam went up and got it, and, you know, it's close.
That's what's frustrating. I mean, we talk about the Denver game close, missed field goal and on the fifth. We talk about Indianapolis fumble on the going in for a touchdown, and that play that the fourth down play that looked like he got it afterwards, and they called it a bad play. And then Miami, one first down or two first downs at the end of the game, win it. What's separating this team from getting over that hump? I mean, you've been around a long time, Coach, and you've coached a lot of different teams. This one probably got you scratching head every night because it's so close to being, you know, a great team or so close to dropping in the middle of the pack. And, I mean, how do you go out and deal with this week's practice? Just stay as norm?
Same thing I've been saying. I think we got to work harder. We got to try to find a way to, you know, do a better job and make a couple more of those plays. Then we won't be talking about it.
I'm confused with the Vince Wilfork penalty during the course of the game, roughing the passer. And I don't understand the rule, and where does the quarterback change his role? If he unloads the ball and the ball is intercepted, does he still remain a quarterback? Because he can get in on the play and make the tackle on the return. Do I not have the opportunity to block that guy and hit that guy to prevent him from making the tackle? Now, granted, he was further down the field. There's no question about that. But when does his role change in that rule, or doesn't it?
I think the I'm not sure the exact wording of it, but the essence of the rule is that when he becomes part of the play attempting to tackle the returner, then that's when he can be blocked. If he's not really doing that, or if he's, in the official's judgment, too far away from the play to really be involved in it, then you can't block him.
So. How about the Aikens one when he called him for offensive pass interference? Looks like they're kind of both tied up. And
you know, he gets jammed. You know, Jones jams him there, and he's trying to push through it, and they called it. So, you know, it's fourth and three. You know, that's a big conversion. And but, you know, it got called back. So they called it, so I guess,
top right.
You know, got to – You know, guys are fighting at the line of scrimmage there. You know, nobody really ran into each other. It wasn't like the, you know, it wasn't like the.
You picked them.
Yeah, like what happened there in the, well, it was the Camarillo play where he's coming over the middle and, you know, and Bod got rubbed off. But, you know, I guess the official felt that we were doing more pushing than they were. And, And so got called back.
At the start of the year, with all the young guys you have playing defense now, were you feeling better about that because you assumed your offense was going to be more productive than it is? Did that give you some leeway in terms of moving some people out and putting some younger guys in, maybe getting younger and faster? Did your the anticipation of a better offense allow you to do that?
Not really, Steve. I think the decisions, you know, on defense were based on the players' performance on defense, and you know, ultimately the team roster is all combined, and certainly the defensive players make up, you know, a large percentage of the special teams. So that's somewhat tied together. But no, I'd say that the players that are on the roster earned their spot on the roster because of their performance in training camp and the other opportunities, preseason games, the other top opportunities they had to perform. So I don't think it was really a function of that. And, you know, a couple of weeks ago we were statistically, you know, scoring-wise and statistically, you know, one of the top defenses in the league other than, you know, the red area and, you know, third down was moving up. But, you know, it hasn't been – certainly hasn't been at that level the last couple of weeks. So, you know, we got to go back to work and do a better job. I know we're capable of better than that, and so we got to do it.
Well, I ask that because besides being the head coach every day, you're also largely responsible for the future of this franchise too, and sometimes the it has to overlap in ways that you know, we can't see, or ways that maybe only the people closely involved with it can see. That's what prompted that question, because it seems like there were some moves made because you brought some youth and some speed in, and maybe it was a time for it to wear. Does the roster ever get set because of
age?
2 years from now, 3 years from now, or something like that? Does that ever affect the roster in the long run?
Well, I think, yeah, sure. I think it to some degree it does. Yes, you know, I mean, we're concerned about this year,
sure.
But we're going to have a team next year, too, so I don't think you can be, as an organization, you know, blind to that fact. I mean, we're going to field a team next year, so it's not – but there's no year more important than this year. So, I think you have to balance the two, but this year has a lot more weight than the next year does. But, you know, it's sure you're always planning for your, you know, your future, and that does involve young players, and it involves developing players. And, you know, if we based everything on, you know, just what a player could do the day he walked onto the field, there'd be a lot of players that, you know, would never play, you know. But you watch players develop and become, you know, good players. You know, guys like Brandon Merriweather, who, you know, when he was a rookie, there were, you know, a lot of criticism about the way he played and so forth. And he's a real good player for us. And we could cite a lot of other examples. But, you know, that's true for, you know, for most players, to tell you the truth. And so how fast they will develop and what their eventual upside will be is always a little bit of an estimate. And some guys end up, you know, becoming, reaching that potential more so than others do. And so there's a little bit of an unknown there. But I think that's the case every year. I don't really see this year as being any different than any other year, you know, from that standpoint. I mean, I understand what you're saying. And you know, you have a lot of those tough roster decisions in August and September, where you have a veteran player who's a little better than a young player because of his experience and his, you know, savvy and so forth. And the question is, you know, will the younger player overtake that veteran player, and how long will it be once he gains some experience, you know, because of his youth and athleticism and so forth. And that's always a tough decision to make, you know. So at some point it probably – you know, most of the time it will happen. It's just a question of trying to gauge the timing of it. You know, will it be 6 weeks? Will it be a year? Will it be 4 years? Well, you know, you try to make the ones that are timely.
You know, you said, you know, bringing the young kids in, obviously. People keep talking about, well, he's bringing in, he wants to go younger. And generally, you don't want to go younger. You want to go better and faster. How much of the inexperience of that defensive backfield has hurt them? You know, sometimes you get a veteran that can anticipate things or read things or sniff out all the window dressing and get to a play faster than a rookie, even though the rookie is faster and quicker. So sometimes you give some of that up to get the speed and potential of the younger player. How much of that has hurt you without having as veteran of the group back there.
Well, I think there's any doubt that some of our younger players and some of our veteran players, you know, again, that we've all had plays that, you know, we'd like to have back and wish we could have executed or called a little bit better. But, young players learn from their mistakes. They gain experience, and most of the time they get better from those. And so that's what all young players go through. I don't think ours are any different than anybody else's, or this year is any different from any other year on that. That's part of how young players learn. You hope they learn quick, and you hope there's not too many of them, and they're not too costly when they happen. But, you know, unfortunately, that's part of the price of all of us, gaining experience of doing something.
Do you need to get more of a pass rush right now, which might help out a little bit in that secondary?
Well, I think defensively you need to play good team defense, and that encompasses, you know, everything. It all needs to work together. So, you know, everything can be better. We can rush better. We can tackle better. We can cover better. We can coach better. We can do everything better.
They didn't do anything we saw the fullback run for you. Was that the pick you were talking about? The fullback ran free down the sideline, and he overthrew them.
Bond got picked off on a crossing route there in the first quarter, and the tight end came over, and he couldn't get through the traffic. It was about third and five. But, they run a lot of crossing routes, and in man coverage, that's one of the things you got to deal with. Same thing down in the red area. All teams do that. That's nothing that we haven't seen. You know, we just got to, be able to work through that traffic.
On the goal line, remember he threw the touchdown over. Was it Wilhite's head? It looked like he was playing in between Bodden.
Bodden,
was that where he was supposed to be? I mean, look, there was, I think, three defensive backs to the right, and there was Bodden was kind of in the middle of the end zone, and Henny was able to throw it over his head. Is he just playing a zone in the middle there?
Yeah, we were in we're in a zone coverage, and you know, it's a good throw, it was a good catch, and we just didn't defend it as well as we could have. There was, two or three things that could have helped the play.
In that area, a step or two, because you only have four yards.
Yeah, right. Right. You're not defending much space, and there's going to be a lot of tight throws and a lot of tight coverage. And right, you got to really be on them down there. There isn't a lot of margin for error.
All right, we'll take a 90-second break. We're down to a four-game season. It's Carolina on the schedule on Sunday. And we'll talk to the coach about Carolina coming up right now. All right, back down live down here at Gillette Stadium. I'm Glenn Ordway, Freddie Smirlis, Steve Piazzi, Pete Shepard, and it's our weekly session with the coach, Bill Belichick. Carolina, and you said it today, four games on the schedule. It's a four-game season. Carolina Panthers on Sunday here at Gillette. And who is Matt Moore? He'll be their quarterback, so tell us what he's about.
We haven't seen a lot of him. He, played, I think, three games in 07. Pretty athletic guy. We'll take a look at the Tampa game from yesterday. But preseason and from a couple of years back, pretty athletic guy, with a little live arm. And seems like they have a lot of confidence in him. When he's had an opportunity to play, he's done a pretty good job.
Remember was it Philly that came into the
Philly game?
Philly game? When
I know had his game of his career.
Game of his life.
Yeah.
You never can say, hey, this guy's no good. Right, and plus you don't know that much about him, like how much, what his tendencies are.
We know everybody that's in this league has talent, or they wouldn't be in the league. So,
Steve was in the league. Sorry, buddy.
Steve. Are they still a very physical team?
Carolina. Yeah, they are. They're a really good running team. They got two good backs. They got a big offensive line. A couple tight ends that can block. Defensively, they got a good front seven. Some experience in the secondary. They're a good solid football team.
How's the Pepper doing?
It's good. I mean, he's a very talented player. He hurt his hand, I guess about a month ago, or 3 weeks ago, whatever it was, and was kind of just used situationally on third down pass rush situations. But, he's as talented as any guy in the league. Can run. I mean, you watch him run down, backs and receivers, 40, 50 yards, you'll chase him and get him. He can run. He's long. He's athletic. He plays on his feet. He's hard to cut. He's a powerful guy. He does a lot of things well.
He's fitting well, wouldn't he?
Well, yeah, he could help any football team a lot. He's a special player.
Can't you put a cast on him? Remember the old days? You pretend you had a hurt hand. You put a big cast on. You could smash people with it. You can put cast on, right?
Yeah. Well, no, he played with a cast. Yeah. No, he played. They just used them on third down situations, but then they keep him from running. He can run.
Muhammad hasn't had a great year this year for Carolina. Smith. He's still one of the best receivers in the game, but still, I mean, that's a formidable duo right there.
Yeah, absolutely.
As good as you were going up against.
Yeah, and they complement each other well. You know, Muhammad's a big physical player, and you know, got great strength, and you know, terrific blocker, and you know, big size receiver, go up and get the ball, and Smith's you know, quick, fast, very elusive. You know, good returner, great with the ball in his hands. So yeah, they present different problems, but they're both, you know, very good.
But they've had some good games, some bad games. They've been inconsistent. Holding on the ball, throwing tons of interceptions at times.
Well, I'd say for the most part, when they have a chance, when those two guys have a chance to make a play, they make them. You know, especially Smith. He's probably as hard to cover as
it's like Kevin,
you know, as anybody we've seen. You know, like Eddie Royal, and you know that level of receiver. I mean, he's fast, he's quick, he's good after the catch. You know, he's strong for his size. Reverse guy, you know, returner. You know, again, a lot. Different, but similar to Eddie Royal, that type of player. You know, just anytime he's got the ball, he's a threat to score.
What year is that for him? Is this 10th year?
Well, he's been around for a little while, hasn't he?
Is he still at the level he was? I remember.
Yeah, he's pretty good now. He's, you know, he's hard. He's hard to cover because you got to stop everything. You know, you don't want to back off him because he can catch and run. You know, you get up on him, he can run by you. He's quick in and out of cuts. He's good on the intermediate routes. Real good hands. So he's, you know, reverses. I mean, he's a threat anytime he touches the ball.
I constantly hear these NFL analysts who say that you change the way you play the game when you get into December with the real cold weather and the snow and everything else, and we're expecting apparently some more bad weather. It doesn't seem to me like you really change up what you guys do when the weather gets cold or the snow is out there, do you?
Well, I think it depends on the conditions. You know, sometimes, like the Tennessee game, you know, there's definitely some things we took out of the game plan Saturday night and Sunday morning, a couple of other things that we put in. So I think that, the conditions are a factor. The win that we saw in Buffalo last year, that changed the game dramatically. So, you know, each game's different, and you just have to, you know, see what it is you're dealing with. I mean, the forecasts, with all due respect to the weathermen, are – you know, they change, and how they are at actually when kickoff is, and what the overall forecast for the day is those are sometimes two different things too. So, you know, you look at what the actual conditions are, and certainly the moisture, the wind, and sometimes even the temperature, and what's on the field, whether it be snow or rain or, you know, a dry field with a lot of wind. You know, those things are a factor, too, as to how you play individually and sometimes even play calling.
Well, it wouldn't affect Carolina as much because they like to run the ball and play the ground game.
Right, yeah. Well, especially if you know, in the wind and all that. I think once you get into a sloppy field, then, you know, you got to be careful on some of the, you know, how many toss plays you want to run and how much sharp cutting you want to try to do. But, you know. All those things are factors. You got to take them into consideration, but they're all different. I mean, I don't think we can take a couple games here over the last 10 years or so and say, well, this game is sort of like that game, but kind of each game has its own elements.
I've heard the NFL's changing of the head injury rule this past week. Does that change anything for you, or is it's still a matter of the medical staff has got to come to you and clear somebody? But could it mean that you're without a player for a longer period of time than you would have lost that player before?
You know, Glenn, I'm not really an expert there on the exact medical part of the NFL's policy. All I know is this, two things. One, there's nothing more important to our team than the health of the team. And without players, there is no team. So without healthy players, you know, we don't have a football team. So that's number one. And number two is, as you alluded to earlier, I'm not a doctor. When the medical staff clears the player to play, then it becomes a football decision as to which players play and which players don't, just like, you know, it always is. But until a player is medically cleared, then he's not an option, and he needs to recover from his injury, whatever that injury happens to be, whether it's this type of injury or some other type of injury. So.
So you have no influence in that. All you do is ask him if he's healthy. Right
no, no, we got a deal, Fred. They don't call plays, and I don't do surgery.
But you know, back in the day,
you tried the surgery.
How do you know when a concussion was? I got hit once, and I was tasting Italian submarines in my mouth, and I thought I was in BC.
Submarines?
In the submarine sandwich, you know, with the pickles.
Oh, yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And the coach goes, "How you doing?" I said, "Good. What's your name?" I go back in, because they didn't really understand what a concussion was. It probably had a bunch. Now they have more evidence of what's happening, and it's not the two Advil and go back in. You keep someone out for observation for a week when you suspect it's a concussion.
Right. Well, again, the doctors do what they feel like the patient or the players need, and that's what they should do. You know, they should do the right thing for them, and as soon as those players are healthy and they're able to come back and participate, then we're happy to have them back, and we put them into into our preparation, our plans. But until they are, then the most important thing for that player is to rehabilitate. That
big red X.
And the NFL has an independent neurologist on the sidelines now. That started last week, was it?
I'm not even sure, Steve. Yeah. Right. Again, how the medical procedures go on different injuries. You know, we have a staff of doctors. Of course, led by Dr. Zarens and mm-hmm. Dr. Gill. And you know, what specialists look at which injuries and how the whole process works and all that isn't. That's not really my area. I just get the final. Decision from them about whether a player can or can't go back into the game, and then if they clear the player to go back into the game, you know, then that's our decision as to whether or not we want to put him back in or not. But until he's cleared, we have no part of the decision.
All right, Coach, enough medical talk for the day. Good luck Sunday against Carolina. We'll see you back here on Monday.
Yep. Okay.
All right. Thanks, Coach. Have a good one. Have